This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Cary Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome in Tuesday night, folks. Time for the Jack Del Rio Show. We'd invite you to join us. 800-355-NFL1. 355-NFL1. At Jags Voice if you are on the Twitterverse. And, of course, we invite you to, for the next hour, sit back and enjoy a conversation between myself, the head coach, and you as we get you ready for the Jaguars' trip to the Taj Mahal on Sunday. I think they call it Dallas Cowboy Stadium, right, Joe? He nods in assent. Oh, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, folks. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. And we bring in the head coach with this thought. Last night on, and people want to dissect things 16 different ways, but last night on the smart board at our television show, All Access, Loggy compartmentalized run defense. You know, the week before we talked about how it was one run that made it look bad. It was Chris Johnson's run at the end of the night that gave him 100 yards, but for the most part, you had held him to just about 3 yards a carry. And what Loggy's assertion was last night was it was one guy on a series of plays, not the same guy every play, but generally the same position that caused the breakdown. And it was something he thought was eminently fixable. Not schematic, but it's about coaching and getting this guy in the right place at the right time. Do you see it the same way, or is that oversimplification?
No, that's what it is. Okay. That's, I mean, Jeff's played. Jeff's been in a meeting room and
he's been a part of a run defense.
And been a part of a defense and understands how one guy breaking down can make it all look ugly. And especially in runs. See, running the ball or having it run on you, that can, like, rip your heart out.
I was about to say, I saw the video of you in the locker room after the game.
Yeah, don't spend too much time on that.
But well, no, it, but it, no, can, all I was going to say was it was clear that you were...
Yeah, my heart was somewhere else, but yeah, because it had been ripped out. But no, it's back. But Jeff has been there and understands. It's so critical, and when you do it right, it looks so good. And you know what? Part of being a good team is doing it right and being consistent. And that's the part that we, you know, and that's why I took it so hard and continue to go at this thing with so much resolve and determination, because I really believe that coaches can have an impact on that part of the game, because teaching. That is not the teaching, the understanding where you fit, and then the nasty attitude that you have to bring. That's how you stop the run.
We don't have a smart board, so I'm going to try to visualize this. But on the 70-yard run, all right, you had a guy that took the wrong shoulder. Just the wrong shoulder, according to Logs. And what that did was, it was a cascading effect that the safety and the cornerback who was forcing the run, both of them now had to take a different tack, a different approach.
Right.
And it left an area that was completely wide open. And it was a shoulder, just one shoulder, that made all the difference in the world. We talk about games being a game of inches sometimes. In that case, when he showed it on the board last night, that was the thing that really, really stood out. Just the wrong shoulder. One simple mistake.
Yeah. It's a lot closer than you think.
Well, and so that's what I'm saying is that when we watched the way that you played the run against Chris Johnson, I mean, he had 25 carries and 76 yards until that last 35-yard run. You can't erase it, but until the game had already really been decided, he wasn't a big factor. So you played good run defense 1 week, and then the next week it kind of all falls apart on a few bad decisions.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to paint that picture for folks who are going, well, what happened? I mean, how can that run defense fall? And you had a couple young safeties in there and a couple of mistakes made. And I'm not trying to pin it all on them, but
no.
A couple of situations where things went south.
No, we expect to play much better, and we need to.
Vic talked extensively yesterday about your comments after the Titans loss. There was a loss in 2003, your first year. Where it was, maybe it was the Dolphins game here, where you gave up a lot of yards.
It was Tennessee.
All right, it was Tennessee, and you said that won't happen again. That kind of thing won't happen again. And from that point forward, you guys went forward. Now you had Marcus and John, two big anchors. Do you see the guys on the field that can help you do the exact same thing? Because the rest of the season, your run defense in 2003 was not only improved, it finished second in the league, I believe.
Yes.
All right.
A little different, a little different situation, a little different circumstance, and I think a similarity is in it that can we get a group of men to absolutely buy in and understand to how imperative it is that you do things right and take ownership and do it right? Yeah, you can, because we did it then. It can be done, and that is my intent. That's not a guarantee. I can't personally guarantee it because, well, you just can't. You're dealing with human beings. But do we have the ability with a Terrence Knighton and a Daryl Smith and a Tyson Alualu and a Courtney Green, you know, slamming the door behind? Yeah, absolutely. And it's just a matter of having a complete commitment to being better and each guy doing his job. And when you do, and then you start doing it, and then you start getting confidence, and then you start doing a little bit better, and then it snowballs. And what's happened is we've had some guys not do it exactly right, and now you're starting to see some guys that are playing a little bit cautiously, and that is a killer. You cannot play cautiously and be good in this business.
One more thought before we take the break. You no score in the ballgame. Mike Thomas, and you talked about how special the special teams of Kansas City were. He gets to the outside and has a 49-yard return going. You're inside the 40-yard line of Kansas City with a quarterback who showed, even though he was coming off of a couch the week before or a tractor, that he could move your offense. That changes the outcome of changes the game, certainly. Here's my question. The last three games, turnovers have become a problem. How do you and your coaching staff work on that on the practice field? How do you go back and deal with something so fundamental as that?
Yeah, ball security. One thing that we do each week is we work, you know, diligently on taking the ball away.
Right.
We've not had one the last 3 weeks.
Since the Indy game, yeah, I know.
We've had some opportunities. Right. We've had our hands on balls. We've had balls out.
Derek had one. Rasheen had one, sure.
We just have not come up with them. And then conversely, on the other side, you know, taking care of the football, it's huge. It's the number one factor in winning games in the NFL. Right. And we're minus 10 the last 3 weeks. And it's no surprise that we lost two of those three games.
Sure. All right, we'll take a break. More to come. Head coach Jack Del Rio is here, folks. Visit Sports Mania for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience, a limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Texans game. Register for free at your closest Sports Mania in Jacksonville. And we're back with the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. I saw somewhere that the Times Union is reporting that David Garrard passed his test today. Can you confirm that? And do you expect that he'll be on the field in Dallas on Sunday?
He did pass his test.
Good news.
And so, therefore, we do expect him to be able to return to practice and then return to the game on Sunday.
Does it depend on how his week is?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to come back and function the way we need him to function. But we expect him to be back.
I'm assuming, as a linebacker, in the era that you played in, that you suffered one of those concussions or more. Did you? He talked about a cloud. I was just trying to give a picture for people understanding what that can be like.
Yeah, it's a lot different now than it ever was.
Right.
That's all I can tell you. I mean, it's...
it's too much made of it?
Well, no, I think it's very serious issue that the league is addressing aggressively. I just think that when you play football that you're going to have these issues.
You'll never get rid of it.
Unless you eliminate...
The helmet.
What we do.
Right.
Play a different sport. But football is... I mean, what's made football popular is the gladiator aspect of the game. And
the controlled violence.
I mean, it's if you go too far down this road, I just think you're going to change the game forever.
Right.
So.
Well, and I guess what I was really ultimately getting to is there a confidence issue that David has to have out there when he stands in the pocket looking at DeMarcus Ware and some of the guys that are coming across the field at him. Does he have to establish to you that he's comfortable and confident on the practice field this week?
I'm not looking. I mean, I don't question anything like that. If I have any questions like that, then it won't go well for him, for anybody.
Right.
So I'm not even gonna like go there. That can't be an issue.
Okay. 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to join us on the program. 800-355-NFL-1. You start a 38-year-old quarterback last week. For the most part, he does a real good job, has an opportunity to keep you involved in the ballgame. The one pick six obviously made it an 8-point game. This week, it now appears you're going to face a 38-year-old quarterback in John Kitna. Last night, Tony Romo, for people who saw it, fractured left clavicle, will definitely not play this week. Thoughts on John Kitna, what you saw from him last night, what you may know from about him from years in the NFL, because he's been around for a while.
Yeah, he has. We're going back and looking. We have been spending the most of our time preparing for Romo, so we'll need to go back and uncover some Kitna film and spend more time getting to know him, getting familiar with him. And there were a few guys, you know, on our staff that have prepared for him in the past, and we played against him in the past. So, you know, we'll just need to get that all dialed up and ready to roll. But this football team that we're playing is really gifted. I mean, it's a really talented team.
So. Record aside, I mean, you're looking at guys like Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, Roy Williams, Jason Witten. I mean, you're talking about a team that has big play players. At least that was the expectation coming into this season.
No, they have it. I mean, again, you know, how a team is portrayed in the media and how we view them on tape is often different.
Right.
So we don't get too caught up in the media's perception and the hype meter and whether or not that's being driven right now. What we're really looking at is being able to understand exactly the things that they like to do, the players that they have, the talent that they have, and how they like to best utilize that talent, and then make sure we do all we can to slow it down.
I do want to point out one guy, though. Number 88, their rookie Dez Bryant. I think John Gruden said last night during the Monday Night Football broadcast that when you look at this guy on the practice field, you see a guy that's just different than everyone else, physically gifted. In fact, I think Joe D, your former special teams coordinator, I talked to him over the summer when he was back visiting, and he said, you know, I mean, people can talk about knucklehead things he did when he was at Oklahoma State, but when he's on the field, I mean, you're looking at a guy who is special. Last night, he had the 93-yard punt return for a touchdown, had a couple of receiving touchdowns. Just thoughts on what you've seen from him, because I know you looked at him in the spring when the draft was rolling around.
Yeah, he's a good player, and he's the kind of guy that, you know, you punt the ball to him 11 times and two times he takes it back for a touchdown. So he's off to a great start as a young player in this league, and you know, he's very talented.
With the way that the rules are written, I mean, it favors a big physical receiver like that, knowing that the corners can't get their hands on him past 5 yards, doesn't it? I mean, this league is built for guys like that.
Yeah, you can't get your hands on him past 5 yards, and you can't hit him. You have a strike zone that you have to hit him in if he's running across the field, you know, through your zone, you know, where it used to be on the quarterback not to lead a receiver into the zone or at least sit him down prior to getting hit. Now they're putting the onus on the defender to pull up or not target a certain area so that you don't have a collision that might hurt the guy.
Right.
So it's a little different brand of football, and absolutely big, strong guys that can run and catch and do those things coming across present problems.
All right, let's take a quick phone call. Let's go to John, who joins us from Brooklyn. John, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Good evening, sir.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
Not bad. A little disappointed. Hopefully we can make it to 4-4 at the halfway point. My question is, you know, Dallas is a very talented team. They got, you know, Felix Jones and Jason Witten. How do you plan on stopping DeMarcus Ware? That guy, he's a real beast, and he'll give us problems. I hope we could, you know, protect David if he starts. How do you plan on slowing him down?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. You're not available, are you? I mean,
all kidding aside, he's a guy you really liked coming out of college.
Oh, I love him. I mean, he's a real good football player. He's had a tremendous career, and I believe he's got 8 or 9 sacks already this year, and real gifted coming off the edge. And
I remember we sat in here and talked before the draft that year, and no one knew him because he came from Troy, and you said, oh, everyone was talking about Sean Merriman. And Merriman had a couple of really good years, but you said, this is the kid.
Well, the difference is this guy's got unbelievable closing speed. I mean, he's He's got natural bend. He's got strength. He's got speed. But he's just a when he closes on the quarterback, that some guys just have that ability, and he is really special. So, yeah, we'll have our hands full. I mean, you know, there are a lot of different things that you do. I'm not getting into game planning type things, John, but I appreciate your call. And it sounds like if you're disappointed the way it sounded like you were, it sounds like you're a Jags fan, and we appreciate your support, and we're looking forward to bigger and better things. But we know he's a game wrecker. He's the type of guy that, you know, you identify, you understand. You better make sure that you have a capable blocker heading his way on every down, because he's a disruptive guy and he can wreck a game.
Anybody else that brings it? I mean, you know, and obviously Freeney has Mathis on the other side. In Pittsburgh, you got a couple of different guys that come off the edge. Is there anyone else on that Dallas defense that can really bring it?
Yeah, they've got some guys, some Pro Bowlers. You know,
Ratliff, as a pass rusher,
Ratliff insides, yeah, pretty good nose tackle. Spears coming off the other side. You know,
and Spencer, Anthony Spencer.
Yeah. Spencer. 93-94.
Yeah.
That's all I know. When they go in sub, those ends are coming off the side, and they're really good pass rusher.
All right, we need a break. More to come here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. More to come with the coach after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline, you'll get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Brian Sexton back with the head coach here on the Jack Del Rio Show. You can join us, 800-355-NFL1, simply 355-NFL1. If you are in the Jacksonville calling area, at Jags Voice, if you would like to hit us on the whole Twitter thing, and we will continue. By the way, 1 o'clock kickoff from, Joe, you were there for a while, Dallas Cowboy Stadium?
Dallas Cowboy Stadium. Kickoff, actually, they changed the time. It's 1:06, if you want to get technical.
So what does that mean in terms of our show starting? Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, for those of you in Jacksonville, starts when?
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock and then noon. With the Jaguars pregame show.
Kickoff at 1:06.
Correct. That means you have an extra 6 minutes of Jaguars this week extra.
Hasn't, right. Winn-Dixie. Scoreboard show.
Postgame show.
Postgame show. And Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. So we've got plenty of folks stepping up to the plate. 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. And let's find out what Bill has to say on the south side of town. Bill, you're up with the head coach. Good evening.
Yes. I wanted to ask about Rasheem Mathis, but I wanted to first tell you, Coach, I hope to see you on the sidelines with the Jaguars at a Super Bowl one day. And I'd also like to mention that Todd Bowman is one tough hombre to come in and do what he did. He might have had a couple of interceptions, but Drew Brees had four and Favre had three, so he didn't do too bad.
Well, I appreciate that, Bill. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Rasheed Mathis, he doesn't seem to be anything like he used to be. And I was just wondering if he is, you know, sometimes he acts like, it doesn't seem, as an observer, it doesn't seem like he wants to be on the field. Either he's nursing an injury or he's a disgruntled employee or something. Do you have an answer?
No, I don't have an answer. And I don't think that I've seen either of those things occur, Bill. I think Rasheen is a player that has fought through injuries. Certainly, you know, he's not the young player that he was when he got here. I mean, he got here in 03 when we drafted him, and, you know, we've been together 8 years, and he's been a real good football player for us over those last 8 years. The last couple of years, he's battled through some injuries. And so, you know, I know that is something that, you know, we're fortunate that, you know, he's not – had an issue. He's remaining healthy, and that's good for us. And so, you know, he's never. I mean, the one thing about it is, you know, when you look at Rasheen, and he is a guy that is more skilled in terms of coverage ability than ever going to be. You know, hitting like a linebacker. I mean, that's just not the way he's wired. It's not the way he's made. He's one of the, you know, special athletes that has the ability to to be out there on the island and cover other people's gifted receivers. And that's what we need from him, and, you know, we need him to continue to stay healthy and play good football for us.
Appreciate the phone call, Bill. 355-NFL1. Jay is in Neptune Beach, and he's next on the Jack Del Rio Show. Jay, welcome to the program.
Hey, Coach. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jay, hanging in there. How you doing?
Oh, man, we love you. You know, last year I had a question to ask you, and I never could get it on here, and I ran out of time, and they gave me and my dad two tickets to Touchdown Club seats. We bought Mom the extra $200-some ticket. We loved it. And I never got my question answered, and it's bugged me, and it's a tough question. My question is, why is it when our beloved Jack, and trust me, I bleed teal and black, baby. I don't care if you're here for the next 10 years or not, I still bleed teal and black. Why is it when we start getting our butts kicked, why does it seem like our boys just kind of tuck their tails between their legs and they quit? And they've done it with Kaufman, they've done it with you, and they'll do it with the next coach. We've got to figure a way to light a fire underneath these butts and let them know it's football. It's not about money, it's about community, team effort, and I'll take the answer off the air, and we love you.
All right. Well, thank you, Jay. I appreciate, first of all, I appreciate, you know, your commitment and your passion for this organization. You know, certainly as the head coach, you know, fans like yourself, you know, are what it's all about for us. You know, making you guys, you know, feel good about coming out, supporting the teal and black, and that and being proud of being a Jaguars fan. You know, that's what we're all about. And in terms of that type of thing, I really think that what happens is when a fan watches the game and things don't go the way they want, and then I think there are times when you may misinterpret, you know, some of the things that are going on. I think, you know, when you see a run occur, like Jeff Loggeman was pointing out to Brian Sexton earlier, we were talking about it, and you see a run occur and you think, okay, they just got run through. They don't care. Believe me, the guys care a lot. And I mean, nobody cares more than the guys in that locker room. I can assure you that. But it doesn't look good. And so it takes on the appearance that, you know, man, those guys don't want it bad enough. And that's just not the case. And I think it's probably, Jay, you know, you misinterpreting, you know, the events of what are transpiring. And I can assure you this, you know, if you go back and watch the tape, the effort is not the question. The execution, now that is a question,
right?
Because we have not executed nearly like we need to. And so that's a fair question. But the effort is not really a question.
You know, and I was sharing this with you. There's a website called theredzone.org. You got to get the .org right, otherwise you're in a different spot. But theredzone.org, and they list newspaper articles by headline under each team. It's a great way to go and find all the stories. You go look at Dallas this morning. There's probably 25 articles, and a half of them talk about quitting, giving up. In fact, Randy Galloway, a guy that was there when you were a player,
Sure. Says
Dallas Cowboys defense had a chance to step up, but instead quit. The camera might show disappointment, and people interpret it as that. But
yeah, I mean, didn't they force like three turnovers late in the game to get back in it?
They did.
So what? I mean, I'm just.
I guess
that's
the point I'm making is that just it's too easy to throw that label out there and say they quit. They quit here. They quit there. Everybody wants to do it, not just in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Teams that lose get accused of quitting, and it's too easy of a word to label to use out there.
Well, anyhow, I mean, I can't speak to that situation, that reporter, that article, or any of those things. What I can speak to is the fact that, I mean, Jay sounded like one heck of a fan out there, one of our diehards. Certainly appreciate that. And I think it's important to understand that our guys do care, and they are fighting. And they're fighting for each other, and they're fighting for pride. And listen, our guys understand that, yeah, they may get paid, but they understand it's still a game. And look, any game you play, you know, it doesn't matter if it's doggone checkers in the locker room, they want to win. I mean, we've got competitive guys, and our football team is a competitive team. And even when things aren't going the way we want them to, we are fighting every play. And when it doesn't get executed properly, it doesn't look good. And then I think some of that ugliness gets mistaken as where it should be a lack of execution.
All right, folks, so when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Martin. 6 Jacksonville location, Stein Martin. More fashion, less price. More to come with the head coach after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show here on a Tuesday evening. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com and see how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers. The Parts House is the official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brian Sexton back with the head coach, Joe Fortunato, here as well. You can dial us up at 355-NFL-1 or 800-355-6351. Back to the Dallas Cowboys. 1-5 team, coach, that's coming off of a Monday night loss. I know we talked about it earlier, but I mean, this is a team that's desperate, which means that you can expect to see everything they got on Sunday afternoon. I mean, there would be people looking at him, yeah. Wow, did you see him on Monday night? They didn't play very good.
Well,
that's desperate as well.
That's what we are. So, you know, so there'll be two of us to feel that way.
And when you look at Dallas from an offensive standpoint, we talked a lot about the receivers and what they can do. What we didn't see last night was the running game. What are your thoughts on their running game with Merriam Barber and the way that they use the, why can't I think of his name, the kid from Arkansas?
Felix Jones.
Felix Jones. How do they use it? Or is this a team that's going to pass the ball 40 times a game because that's where they had been built?
Well, they do have a lot of strength in the receiving corps, so yeah. I'm sure they like getting the ball into their hands. I think even their tight ends. I mean, Witten is one of the better tight ends in the league. And more like Mercedes in terms of being a complete player. He can block, run, catch, do it all. So I think certainly they've got skill people everywhere, not just running backs, not just wide receivers, but tight end position as well. I think that's why they've chosen to throw the ball and done it very effectively. They're in the top, one or two teams in the league.
Fourth today.
Now they're fourth, but they're excellent offense and they can run it and throw it. So we got to be ready for both.
Thoughts on Merriam Barber and Felix Jones and how they differ and how they use them?
Well, I think Felix is more of a home run threat. Barber's more of a pounder. They're both gifted backs. Both have good vision. I think Felix is more of the home run threat. Although Barber can rip him off as well. So, but he's more of a bruising runner, a physical runner, and does a nice job following blocks and making people miss in the hole.
And then, of course, we talked just a little bit, and you mentioned about to Kitten and how they're going to have to adjust from a game plan perspective when you go in with a backup quarterback, even though it's a guy who's been around there a little bit. Do you suppose they're going to have, and I know you can't speak to it, but do you suppose they just stay with what they do, even though they've got a 38-year-old journeyman backup?
Well, I mean, I can only say a little bit about how we went about our business, right. With Todd. I mean, he's a guy that knew our system. We didn't feel like we were handcuffed in terms of being able to call plays, and then we got with Todd and the work that we could get in over the 3-4 days with him and wanted to settle on the things that he liked best, and I'm sure that they'll work through something very similar where they're going to work with the quarterback that's going to take the snaps, who's going to be their starter, and they're going to try and make him as comfortable as possible running the offense. And he's a talented guy. I mean, he's a guy who's played in the league a long time, has won a bunch of games in this league. So,
yeah.
I think I think there was plenty of respect for Todd going in to Kansas City. I don't think that if you got an NFL quarterback, if he's lining up at quarterback in this league, chances are he was really good in college, and if he's been in the league a long time, that means he's been able to stick around because he knows something about playing that position. And so just like we have in Todd, I think they have a guy that, even more so, that's been with them. Where we brought in Todd a week after being a coach at a high school team, he was helping us.
How about a quick thought on Aaron Kampman and the way that he performed last week and what you expect from him? Again, that offensive line, they had Flozell Adams forever, and now they've gotten with the younger guy out there. I had a lot of people remark to me this week that Kampman in particular, he just oozes confidence and exudes leadership. But choose your adjective and your verb and how you want it to work, but that he's a guy that everybody watching on TV can see. Really brings more than just...
You can see it every day in everything he does. That's why it shows through the TV screen. It shows every day in our locker room. It shows anybody that, when you come across him, he's professional in everything he does. He's relentless in his approach. And he's just a good football player. So he made another sack Sunday, and he'll continue to do that. And that particular play was a great example of coverage and rush working together. The coverage was good. Quarterback held it. Wanted to check it down. Couldn't check it down. Boom, there's the rush. Get the sack. And so it went hand in hand, and we need to see a little bit more of that.
Well, and just to go with another point, and that is it's not always about the sacks. There were a couple of other plays where he was right there and had to impact the quarterback's throw, yeah, even if he didn't touch him.
Well, we had him draped on the quarterback on one where Derek Cox actually knocked it down. Could have potentially been, you know, one of those pick six, sixes. Go, you know, make it eight, because we were eight down at the time, and that could have been one right there. You go down there and get the 2 point and tie the game up, and that's where we are. You got to make those plays. Right. That's what it comes down to as a coach. I'm coaching and hoping, right, that we get those kind of plays, because once you start getting them, then they kind of feed on themselves, and you know, turnovers come in bunches, and we need to start getting a bunch, and we've given a few away the last few weeks, and we know it's about ready to turn, because we feel like we're way overdue.
All right, we take a break and return. More to come with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Have you been to this new stadium? Have you? Was there a meeting or have you had a chance to drive through Dallas or see it?
I have not seen it yet.
You played in the old place.
Yes.
Which people don't know. I mean, for years, television made that place look like a palace, but at the end, it was anything but. This place?
Well, it just aged. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
It felt like a palace when we were playing in it.
One? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was rocking and rolling. It was a good place, and a lot of fun, a lot of tradition, a lot of great games there.
This place, though, is off the charts. I mean, you look at it on the satellite view from, you know, Google or whatever, and I mean, it's enormous. And, you know, I guess that's what, you know, billion-plus dollars will do.
Right.
Heard about it from anybody? Had any scouting reports on it?
Just heard how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the
Palace, big, the whole nine yards?
The whole nine yards.
Cowboys, 1-5. You've been in that town. I mean, you played there when the expectation was early on that it was going to be a struggle. What's it like to be a Cowboy right now, would you suppose, in that town?
I can only speak to what it was like to be a Cowboy back then. I loved it. I loved playing in Dallas. There's nothing like, to me, it's one of the places, you know, when you travel as a Cowboy, as a Dallas Cowboy, you get off the bus in any town. There'd be 500 people there.
Yeah.
It's just a team that is very, very popular.
America's team.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they were. I mean, yeah, it's, yeah, so, you can't take that away from them.
Yeah, and then so you either have, you know, when you do travel like that, you're going to have a group that hates you because you're the Cowboys, and then you're going to have a bigger group that loves you because you're the Cowboys. And so that was a lot of fun playing for them. You know, I played there for 3 years under Jimmy Johnson and went through that tough year. And, you know, and that's why I always reflect back. You know, people like to beat you down when you're not going well. And you know, I remember people talking about how terrible that offensive line was that year. And we were 1-15 in 1989.
Right.
And the quarterback, he wasn't any good. And he was a bust. And, you know, all these things are being said. And so, and then you look up, and those offensive linemen, they end up going to the Pro Bowl. And that quarterback ended up, he's in the Hall of Fame. And right. You know, and you start looking around, and you know, and all of a sudden, a lot of the guys that were there that I played with those 3 years, they went on and won three of the next four Super Bowls in the early '90s, and you know, it's a lot of the same players, and so you know, so great memories, because we built something there, and I was a part of that foundation there, and it was a lot of fun.
We're due for a break. Let's take it now. More to come. Head coach Jack Del Rio on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton and the head coach with you for a couple more minutes. Real quick, any favorite stories? I mean, you were there as things changed. Can you share anything? Dallas has a reputation, wild town.
Oh, well, no. I mean, little things like, like I played with Ed Too Tall Jones.
Okay.
I mean, you remember him, right?
He's everyone
bigger,
does.
Bigger than life kind of guy. I mean, 6'8", or whatever the heck he was.
Monstrous.
You know, he would never go in the training room.
Why?
He played 15 years in the league. I believe it's 15, maybe 16.
It was a long time.
He never set foot in the training room. He'd grab a rookie. Hey, Rook, go grab me a couple of Tylenol and a bag of ice. And that was it. He never set foot in a training room, never got taped, nothing.
Why? Superstitious?
Just, didn't believe in it. I mean, he was just one of those big, strong, natural guys that was able to play forever. And, yeah, I played for
him. He didn't even get
taped? Played with him.
Didn't even get taped?
Didn't get taped.
How was he at the end? Because you're right, that was his last year.
Yep.
And he started in 74. That was his, so it was 15 years. You got to take a little out for the boxing. But other than that, how was he at the end?
Yeah. I mean, you know, big. Too tall.
Too tall. Ed Too Tall Jones.
355. He liked his cold beer.
I mean, lots of guys did.
Yeah.
Back then, though, when you got on the plane after a game, didn't they hand you a couple?
Yeah, you'd get a couple.
Yeah. That changed right about the time the Jaguars came into the league. So.
Yeah, you used to get on the plane, and they'd give you, like, you know, two or three beers and a little ice bag.
Right.
A little individual ice bag.
Yeah.
And you know, guys take care of business. And then what happens is you get a couple idiots that ruin it and drink too much and then get off and then, you know, all of a sudden, yeah, then you have to do the politically correct thing and outlaw it.
Right.
And that's where we are now.
Even though 97% of the people didn't. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's grab one more call. Dave is in St. Augustine, big Jaguars fan. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
That's funny. I do the same thing after the game.
Yeah, most fans do.
It's not a bad way to go, huh, Dave?
Yeah, we call it self-medication anyway.
Hey, Dave, I need you to make it quick because we got to get our final break in. So go ahead and fire your question.
Coach, I just wanted to say, you know, we're kind of due. I've always believed that you learn the most from mistakes. And I don't think there's any question we've been making our share of mistakes. So, you know, the staple of Gene Smith's guys are our mental will. And I believe that with some of the continuity in the secondary, I think Courtney Green's a solid player. I think Don Carey can be solid. I think Derek Cox is solid. So I think that if we can stick with that group, there's no reason why we shouldn't. Now, barring injury, hopefully we can stay injury-free. But I'm, you know.
All right, Dave, we got to go.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you, Dave. Hey, I appreciate the call, Dave, and I agree with you. This is a young team. You know, Courtney Green, how many starts does he have in the league?
Four or five, right?
Two or three. Yeah, you know, Derek Cox, how many starts do you have? He started last year and a few more this year.
We're essentially,
it's a young group. They're getting better.
We're done. We're going to come back, and I'm going to say goodbye. So
okay, good night,
Coach. Appreciate it. We'll come back and wrap up the show right after this, folks.
How about them Cowboys?
All right, back to wrap things up here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Certainly appreciate your listening and all of those folks that called. Well, Lonnie, hey, it's tough around here these days. You know, they were flying high after getting things turned around with Josh Scobie's kick and coming back from a 10-point deficit in Buffalo and, you know, back-to-back losses like this, 30-3 and 42-20. Yeah, there's, I'm seeing them hanging their head, but there's a lot of stoicism as folks try to fight through this one. So, certainly appreciate it. Sunday, Dallas, Jaguars, Cowboys, 1 o'clock for the kickoff. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10, pregame at noon Eastern Time, followed by the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Thank you, Joe. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.